And now, back to brainstorming with Billy.
It turns the brains into guacamole.
Now, here's your host, Billy the Brain.
Welcome back. This is Bill Frank, and you're listening to Brainstorming with Billy the Brain here on KKZZ, Positive Talk Radio for Ventura and Santa Barbara Counties. Every show has a theme, and today's theme is retelling of an old story. Each of my guests is discussing his take on his subject to show how everything old is new again. My next guest is an historian and a presidential scholar. He's been compared to Doris Keynes Goodwin, another great historian. We'll discuss Harry Truman's improbable victory and the year that transformed America from his latest book, 1948. And if you have a question or if you want to join in the conversation, you can call us at 639-0008. Best-selling author David Petruccia has been called a scholar, an author, an editor, and a Renaissance man. He's also been called a 21st century Theodore White, and one of the most accomplished historians in the United States. As a noted presidential scholar, David has been selected to serve on the Siena College Research Institute survey of the United States presidents, along with many other famous historians, including David McCullough and Douglas Brinkley, who wrote a great biography of President Ronald Reagan. He has served as the editor-in-chief of Total Sports Publishing and as a national president of the Society for American Baseball Research, as well as on the Board of Trustees for the Calvin Coolidge Memorial Foundation. David holds both bachelor's and master's degrees in history from the University at Albany, where he served and he's also served on the Amsterdam New York City Council. He lives and is joining us from upstate New York. Hi, David. How are you today?
Oh, doing good. Glad to be on.
Well, thank you for being our guest. It's an interesting time. I like to look back, particularly with people who have studied an era. So set the stage for us about the year 1948. It was a pivotal year in our history for a lot of different reasons. We were just entering the Cold War. Civil rights was on the rise. President Truman integrated the armed forces for the very first time. The State of Israel was created. The Alger Hiss case, where he was being accused of being a communist while in government service. We were experiencing some post-war inflation. The nascent medium of television was just being born. And the Democrats have had a hold on the White House for over a decade and a half. So talk to us about why this was such a pivotal year.
Well, for all of those reasons, and you see things, everyone remembers 1948 with that picture of Harry Truman holding up the Chicago Tribune, Dewey defeats Truman, and the subtitle of the book is Harry Truman's Improbable Victory and the Year That Changed America. And you see a lot of books out there with this changed everything and all that and everything. But this year is, as you pointed out, you see so many things starting which are going to define America for decades to come. You see the Cold War. You see the Marshall Plan. The Berlin airlift is occurring right as the conventions party conventions are meeting. The Turkish-Greek aid, the reinstitution, or the institution, rather, of the peacetime draft. Harry Truman kind of flip-flops on that when he sees how perilous the situation is becoming overseas. We get into that thing which we had until the Vietnam War. You see that defining domestic politics as the Democratic Party splits three ways. The Southern segregationists go one way. Henry Wallace and his progressives go another way. They are very much pro-Joe Stalin, anti-Harry Truman on the Cold War. You see the birth of the State of Israel, the proclamation of it. The partition of Palestine, the United States becoming the first country to recognize Israel 13 minutes into Israel's existence as a state. And you see how that sets the stage for all the struggle in the Middle East involving the United States. Very chilling to read in 24 hours right after that happens that you've got a Muslim religious leader out of Cairo talking about the United States and talking about jihad, all in the same sentence.
And
very
all
eerie stuff.
And
then, of course, civil rights. Franklin Roosevelt had talked a good game with black support. He'd given them certain relief jobs and such like that, which they were grateful for. But in terms of desegregating the South, Franklin Roosevelt really did nothing in that regard, barely gave lip service to it. World War II was fought by the segregated armed services. Harry Truman might not have integrated the armed services, but we think of Martin Luther King and the March on Washington. There was almost a March on Washington in 1948. A. Philip Randolph, one of the earlier civil rights leaders, says, look, we put up with this segregation during a war. We are not putting it up with it in a draft in peacetime. You do this, we will march on Washington right in the middle of your reelection campaign, right in the beginning of the Cold War, and you're seeing polls which say that 30% of black young men might refuse to sign up for the draft that year. And again, the Cold War, or rather domestic communism, that gives us not only the beginning of what is known as the McCarthy era, but it also gives us the beginning of somebody we knew for a long, long, long time, a native Southern Californian, Richard M. Nixon.
That is right. That's amazing. My guest is David Petruccia. We're talking about his book, 1948. So let's focus in on the election, if we can, because you've hit it in the overview that you've just given us, David. But here we are. We're coming up on the 1948 elections. Obviously, Truman has been president because of the death of FDR while he was in office. You mentioned it just briefly in passing. The Democratic Party was splintered. We had Henry Wallace, who was a progressive, Strom Thurmond, who was a Dixiecrat, and Strom Thurmond would play a big role later on in the 1960s and 70s in integrating the South as well. Against this backdrop, though, what you didn't say was that the Republicans had taken hold of both the Senate and the House in the midterm elections of 1946, and it seemed very likely that Thomas Dewey, who was the Republican candidate against Harry Truman, was going to be a shoo-in for that particular election. So give us a brief background on each of the candidates in the 1948 election, starting with Harry Truman, Thomas Dewey, Henry Wallace, and Strom Thurmond.
Sure. Harry Truman is really an accidental president. He's a unique figure in the 20th century because not only is he the last non-college matriculating president, he's the only one of the 20th century. Even before that, you have to go back to Andrew Johnson and Abraham Lincoln to find a president of such a modest educational resume. And so he comes out of this very small town background, Independence, Missouri. He also comes out of the background of being a product of a spectacularly corrupt political machine in Kansas City, Jackson County, Missouri. So corrupt that in 1939, when Harry Truman is in the United States Senate as a part of this machine, his boss, Tom Pendergast, is sentenced to the federal penitentiary. And people say, Harry Truman, his career's over. And he fights a three-way primary, again, a three-way Democratic split, to retain his seat. He beats the odds, which gives him great practice to win in 1948 against the odds. And then he comes out of, he's still a non-entity in the Senate in Washington, but they say, Harry, can you look at this defense contracting thing, the military bases we're building, how we're spending the money to beat Hitler and Tojo? And he goes around the country, does an incredibly responsible, nonpartisan job on this, and rises in the public estimation, so much so that in 1944, he becomes vice presidential candidate, the vice presidential candidate of Franklin Roosevelt, replacing Henry A. Wallace, who was the vice president, who had been Secretary of Agriculture under FDR, but he is too left-wing. He's too left-wing for the Democratic Party. He's warned, Franklin Roosevelt is warned, that having Wallace on the ticket again could cost FDR a million votes in November 1944, and he has to go. He's dumped for Harry Truman, who is sort of the least objectionable candidate. He's not too Southern. He's not too Northern. He's not too liberal. He's not too conservative. He's not too pro-union or anti-union. And he fits right in the slot. Because other guys, like a Wallace, like a Jimmy Burns out of South Carolina, you know, you're ticking off a key constituency with them. You're not doing that with Harry Truman. Now, in that 1944 election, the Republican candidate was Thomas E. Dewey. Thomas E. Dewey's a really young guy in in 1948. He's 46 years old. He's, you know, Obama age in 2008, roughly. He's 3 years or older than JFK in 1960, and which means he's 4 years younger in 1944 when he's a nominee for the first time on a national ticket, and 4 years before that, when he's not even governor of New York, he's leading on the first three ballots for the Republican nomination. So he's a wunderkind. He's a young guy, but he's a little too slick, and what he does in 1948 is present a campaign of roughly mush, of sitting on his lead, which is, can be a very dangerous thing to a candidate. And you see where Richard Nixon in 1968, he did basically the same thing and nearly lost to Hubert Humphrey. The fourth member of this quartet is J. Strom Thurmond, who is then the governor of South Carolina. He's a very young guy, too. And he is not really, well, he's still a Democrat. He's not really pictured as a conservative at that point. They have our, the Washington Post, for example, talks about this new breed of progressive liberal, forward-thinking, southern governors, very New Deal in orientation, and the best of the bunch is J. Strom Thurmond. But he gets sucked into this protest movement of the southern Democrats against Harry Truman's civil rights program. It's a very disorganized, disjointed thing. He shows up at the last minute, ends up being the nominee, ends up getting carried away and talking about how the federal government is not going to integrate their homes, schools, swimming pools, etc., at Bayonet Point, which is incredibly ironic considering he is the father of an illegitimate black daughter.
Well, there is great irony throughout. My guest is David Petrucha, and he is the author of the book 1948, Harry Truman's Improbable Victory and the Year That Transformed America. So as you mentioned, the Democratic Party is split. There are all these fractions. The candidate is Harry Truman. It would seem that Thomas Dewey was a shoo-in to become the president, hence the headline in the Chicago Tribune. Give us your analysis of why Thomas Dewey lost.
He loses because he does take the election for granted for a very long period of time. He also doesn't coordinate his campaign with the Republican Congress, so they're at odds. The unions, who Harry Truman had threatened to jail union members in 1946, come back to him in the Democratic Party. And this race is very much a race of geography. Henry Wallace's support is centered in New York and California largely. People forget that he's a regional candidate in some sense. Thurmond and Truman kind of fight to a split decision in the South. And Dewey, I mean, we think of what the geography nowadays nationally is. Dewey takes the Northeast. Truman takes the Midwest and the West. And early on, they write a campaign brief, a strategy in the Truman camp, and they say, this is what we've got to do. We've got to take the Midwest. We've got to take the West. And the West focuses on irrigation projects, public improvements. Truman addresses this. And Truman's an old dirt farmer from Missouri. He understands Midwestern farmers, and he plays into their concerns at the end. Dewey, who originally comes from Michigan, has been in Manhattan long enough where he's the city slicker, and even though he had carried the Midwest in 1944, loses it state after state in 1948, and also they take foreign affairs off the table. Republicans tend to be stronger on foreign affairs issues than Democrats through the whole Cold War thing. Dewey takes it off the table. He takes off the Alger Hiss communist in government issue off the table. A reason for that, Alger Hiss had been recommended to be president of the Carnegie Endowment for World Peace by one John Foster Dulles, who was the premier foreign policy advisor to Thomas Dewey and who becomes Secretary of State under Dwight Eisenhower. So he takes a lot of things which off the table, doesn't even discuss them, and flops on any number of levels. And people see what they want to see and don't see what they don't want to see. And they refuse to see that their earlier opinions are not correct, that Dewey is losing steam, Truman is gathering steam. The crowds are bigger and bigger and bigger and more enthusiastic for him, and they just ain't turning out for Tom Dewey, who should be. They should be turning out to see the next president. They ain't, because maybe they either know or don't care that he will be the next president.
And as it turns out, he wasn't. In fact, Truman did beat him at the last minute, a very close election, one of the more pivotal elections in U.S. history. My guest is David Petrucia. We're talking about his book, 1948. David, what do you want readers to take away from reading your book, 1948?
Well, two things. One, which I just talked about, which is that, you know, you can get so caught up in the information that you have, you refuse to process new information. And also that steel beats mush in political campaigns. And as the profound political philosopher Yogi Berra observed, it ain't over till it's over. the Obama administration certainly is looking forward to that. One of the recent reviewers of the book has said that certain of his advisors are looking at the book as a favorite. But there are many differences, as well as many similarities in style and in between Truman and Obama, and also in what the country was up to that year and what the country is up to now.
And if you're interested in politics, this is a good read. If you're interested in history, this is a good read. I've been talking to the author, David Petrucia, author of the book 1948, Harry Truman's Improbable Victory and the Year That Transformed America. David, if people want to learn more about you, learn more about the book, where would you direct them to go on the Internet?
Well, you can go to my website, which is hard to find because of the spelling of my name, David Petrucia, PietruszA.com. But I'd say work backwards, go to Amazon or BarnesandNoble.com and punch in 1948 and also two other books I've done on campaigns, 1920 and 1960. So if you punch in those 3 years, you're going to come up with me.
That's the way to do it. My guest has been David Petrucia. David, it has been a delight. Thank you so much for being my special guest here on Brainstorming. We'll talk to you down the road.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Thank you.